If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right?
Hello.
Yeah. I'm just about all right.
You know,
I'm only just here today.
You've got the Phoebe Buffet, like, smelly yes. Crap. Smelly crap.
She'd make the most of it on this podcast.
She's sounding super sexy. She's got a cold.
Yeah, we're not sure yet. You might have to duck out at various points or altogether.
Depending on if I feel worse or if Bagel wakes up, I might be gone.
Yeah, because we're not in our usual setting either, are we?
I know, funny.
Not your house, you don't want us in your house.
I live really far away.
Yeah.
We're in another friend's house, aren't we? Well, you're having your house decorated.
I know.
Yeah.
Which that's... already is not going to plan, but anyway. It'll be fine when we get back.
So we did the live event, moved out, you're ill.
Yeah.
Let's crack on.
Bagel went to the vet. It's all kicking off.
No.
Yeah. We also realised... Just when you thought we'd stop talking about the live the venue, the Stand is an amazing, it's my favourite place to play as a comedian. Really good venue, but one downside of it is no signal downstairs because the theatre is kind of subterranean.
Yeah. Mm.
Which means that the QR codes that people were trying to use to make donations, you couldn't do it.
I know.
So
I realised the other day, didn't I? Like, dawned on me when I was trying to get to sleep.
I don't know.
And then
how
I said to you the next day,
literally,
I can't believe we missed that.
Every gig, every MC says the joke of, oh, you know, don't talk while the acts are on, turn your phones off, but if you can get a signal down here, fucking good luck to you.
Yeah. Well, you said, didn't you, that people were like trying to get on the Wi-Fi, and but of course, why it didn't like twig in any of our heads?
No.
That's why the QR codes.
We were thinking
work.
About a lot of different things.
I should have known because, like I said, I've been there enough times. Yeah. But the point is, we want to give it one last push for donations. So Claire's going to put everything up on the socials.
It's already in the bio. The link's already in the bio.
Yeah, for the Just Giving page.
And it's all in honour of our gorgeous Mel, because she's going through bowel cancer herself, and she's sharing about it really openly on her own stories, and she's talked about a bit. She talked about our live event a little bit, and she was looking gorgeous.
She did.
She looked amazing. But, you know, she was the one who chose this charity because it's close to heart.
Yes.
So it's all in honour of her.
Yeah, yeah. And that was why she couldn't be there as well, because of our treatment.
Doctor,
So we don't want some patchy Wi-Fi data signals to stop people from donating. So if you were trying to do it on the night, or even if you weren't there at all, head to our socials. Follow the link to the Just Giving page and donate whatever you can. We'd all really appreciate it. Right.
Great.
We're not going to talk about the live event anymore for at least 4 to 6 minutes. Big week.
Yeah.
We had a few people leave. Finally.
Yeah, we did.
Two couples?
Two couples. Well, let's do, because feedback week. Too many differently themed weeks. Homestays.
Homestays.
So, distinct episodes. Commitment ceremony. We've got to work through them also.
Okay.
Let's start with the commitment ceremony. As always, pre-commitment ceremony, there was some getting ready sort of bits.
People are always ironing a shirt topless.
Or, my favourite bit, peak Lucinda, smoothie out of a Prosecco glass.
Oh, yes. Well, if you're going to do it, you know, do it
Everything
right.
She does is extra and I'm here
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
We also heard about the Sarah slagging off Tim behind his back to the ex. We saw the beginnings of the conflict.
Thing is, none of that surprised me, because if you are going to meet up with your ex and you're on a TV show married to somebody else and you're meeting up with an ex and you're being flirty, of course you're going to slag off the person you've been put with, because you're not going to sit there and say you're really into them if you're meeting
it's
up with your
really
ex.
Well.
So of course she was slagging off Tim. Like, it didn't feel like new news. Knowing she met up with the ex, it was almost the unsaid thing that, of course, Tim's name wasn't being, like, hallelujahed.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel like anything new. And Jaden, why has he nominated himself as the town crier? Because it felt like he had this, it felt like he was given this new nugget, but it wasn't really that groundbreaking.
But then it gave him something that justified him keeping going with it.
Yeah, but why is he so
bothered?
He
really wanted to keep going with it, didn't he?
And it's like he's said to two different people that he's got their back. Like, he did it to Lucinda and he's done it to Tim. But the person themselves is like, can you drop it now?
Yeah.
Because Tim has said to him, like, this is our relationship and we want to give it a try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Jaden's doing him a disservice by trying to be this, like, great mate.
Well, they were first on the couch, Tim and Sarah, and they were all smiles and it all seemed quite nice. I mean, I don't like her. I'm not sure I buy it, but I'm a bit disappointed in him for bending so easily. But I think, fair enough, whatever, get on with it. I'm not that invested in them. But it did seem like Jono, God, his voice was so whiny when he was saying, I saw them. And
they died.
Really getting on.
It was like he was taking the piss out. It was like he was doing like a Muppet of himself.
Yeah. Deliberately talking slowly.
When Sarah and Tim were on the sofa, it was one of my favourite moments of the episode, where for some reason she was referencing people who hit off straight away.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, Jack and Tori just got on like a house on fire. And then it cut to Jack being like, nicest thing I've heard.
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
Oh,
it was
God.
One moment where I actually was laughing with him rather than at him. Like, it was quite funny. And didn't Tori go, run with it?
Let's take it.
God.
That was actually quite funny and quite self-aware. Yeah. I thought that was one of their better moments.
Yeah, it was. It's the first time we've actually seen a bit of comedy from Jack. But this is where it start. I mean, obviously, we saw them pre-commitment ceremony talk about them having heard this stuff. Then, while Tim and Sarah were on the couch,
he's heckling them.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you could see him. It cut to him, and I thought, oh, he's going to start now, and he just harumphed a bit.
Yeah. He did. He was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then eventually, he said, no, you've been slagging him off.
Yeah, we ain't buying it.
And Sarah's going, no, you don't know that. And he goes, well, Eden told me, like, straight away, he sold her out.
Can't believe he did that.
He sold her out in such a strong way when we'd just seen them have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I know she shouldn't have given him an ultimatum, but he knew how she felt. So really, he was choosing Tim, although Tim doesn't want to be chosen, over her.
Yeah.
But
when
the stakes were quite high.
I know.
Eden was really upset.
Well,
she'd
asked him. Yeah, she'd asked him not to. That was awful, that. It really annoyed me.
It betrayed the spousal privilege of, like, I'm allowed to say what I want, and you like when you go to Johnny with something, do you assume you have full confidentiality.
Yeah, 100%.
And also, you're allowed to present your feelings. You don't have to come with forensic evidence.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Although I have said to you a couple of times, this is not for other people's ears, because you did go through a period where you would just tell our friends things that I'd said.
Or put it on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but that's because that's different. That's you
that's different.
Saying
okay.
things about, like we're staying in our mate's flat at the moment.
Yeah.
I jokingly said, I might tell him his TV stand's a bit wonky, which it is.
Cut to him listening to this with one tear running down his face.
But because, you know, I know you worry about stuff like that, but I know my mates and I know they'll find that funny. And also, it might help him to take action on this one. But we're not talking about relationship breaking.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly.
But it just felt like such a disrespect to Eden when she'd literally just... And I presume, because they were in the same clothes, but it was just prior to the commitment ceremony. So she'd literally just said, maybe an hour before, please don't do this. It really, it's going to really upset me. I don't want her to think she can't trust me. And not that she cares about Sarah anymore, because that friendship's probably a bit dead and buried.
I would say so, yeah.
But he basically... ignored her wishes for the sake of what?
Yeah.
Just being like, again, playing the have a go hero sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got information.
And then he totally put her on the spot.
Totally.
In front of the whole group and the experts to say what her evidence was, just so that he didn't look bad because he's the one that chose to bring it up.
If you don't have the full details, then it's probably not worth bringing it up and telling me.
I know.
But we should have stopped at, it's probably not worth bringing it up.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Because you brought it up, Jaden.
Mm. Yeah.
So you didn't have the full evidence and you chose to bring it up.
It's
she brought
strange.
It up in a space that wasn't shared.
I mean, when I put a tweet saying, is he starting to wind anyone else up? Because why is he she didn't cheat on him.
Mm.
And a few replies, like the majority were in support of that. But a few replies were, well, he's triggered because of the whole cheating thing. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't give you like free rein to just... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but maybe was triggered. But it's not fair to say still is.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? When he first found out about it, when Eden first told him and they had that, we've got to say this, you know, fine. He was maybe triggered then. But he's going to have to get a handle on that trigger if it's going to happen for like 3 weeks at a
time.
I think
his singer is a scarlet woman who needs to be brought. He's like, burn the witch. She did something wrong.
She doesn't deserve forgiveness.
It shows a real lack of maturity that he can't distance himself slightly and go, right, this has already been talked about. This is not really new news. It's not like she's met up with him again.
Yeah.
If he found out that Sarah then met up with him again, obviously that is huge information. But finding out that she might have slagged him off, I assume she did.
Yeah.
Because she's meeting up with her ex. And if you're meeting up with someone that you're flirting with, of course you're going to slag off the person you've been putting on the show. Because you're not going
to... And you must know when he says to her, like, well, if you don't have evidence... Well, you know I don't have evidence. I wasn't on the fucking date.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember that maths where there obviously. Was a voice note left? But we never found out.
Oh, the bot dial.
Yeah, the bot dial.
That was Harrison, wasn't it? Saying stuff about... Oh, no, it was Dan.
It was Dan. It was Dan. It was Rupert.
That's he dialed Evelyn.
Doing the inverted... had a butt dial. But everyone knows he was like...
He just told
Evelyn because Evelyn's really hot. So
but it's such a shame as well because... Yeah. It's such a shame because originally Jaden and Eden did have each other's backs a little bit where he either pretended that he'd seen over her shoulder or he backed her lie that whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now he's just thrown her to the wolves when she expressly asked him not to.
I know.
It's not like she even just said, oh, I'd rather he didn't. She was like, please don't. It could be the end of us.
Yeah.
And he's like, give a shit.
Yeah.
Well, let's,
exactly.
I think we should move to their bit on the couch, really, since we're talking about. And what do you think of the ultimatum? Either you say what I tell you to say or I'm done with you. From Eden.
Yeah, but what she said she meant was, I'm done with the experiment.
Right.
That's what she said she meant.
Feels like she might say things quite clunkily and then it's taken... I don't agree with ultimatums because I think people who give you ultimatums maybe don't have your best interests at heart by the very nature of the aggression of doing an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on Team Eden because when they got on the sofa, he just got his narrative in first.
Yeah.
That's what was annoying. The whole group listened quietly while he told his version. Even the experts didn't really ask her what was her side.
Yeah.
And her side was... I was really upset and asked him not to do it and he's come and done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She panicked, didn't she? That's what I said to you. Basically, I think she just panicked.
Yeah.
I think in that moment when she said to him, I'm going to leave if you do that, it's just sheer panic because she didn't want to be in that situation where she's having to defend her position for the sake of somebody else.
And it's also just not very nice sat there knowing that you've told your friends secrets behind their back. And as much as they might not be friends anymore, Sarah's quite a scary, dominant character.
Yeah, yeah,
and I wouldn't really want to be on the wrong side of her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think she's been mean to Eden since, but she's certainly given her the cold shoulder, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like the way Jaden got in there with his story and then nobody asked Eden nobody seemed to ask Eden her perspective.
Yeah.
And obviously we know that sometimes those couch sessions are like an hour, two hours, and she might have done, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
she did
take... Every time we brought something up, she seemed to take accountability for it, but she never... I think she sort of does something we've accused Richie of doing as well.
Dropping it and wanting to move on.
Sort of, it's not as bad as that. I feel she does take more accountability than Richie. Or who was the other person who's just like, well, it'll be Jack. Yeah. Yeah. I've apologised.
Like, she's not in good company there with Jack and Richie.
It's not as bad as them, but even to be mentioned in the same
Sarah's done that as well, though, hasn't she?
She has.
Right, let's move on. I'm done now. I've explained it.
And it's like you're in the wrong and you're like, oh, this conversation's getting a bit boring. I'm like, it's not your call if the person who's hurt wants to discuss
it. That's it, I'm done now.
Yeah. Why can't you forgive me? It was like half an hour ago.
But also, he's buying her flowers 5 times a week. He made the pillows into a dog shape.
5 times a week? I gave you a nudge then, didn't I? Times a week? Nudge.
That feels a bit excessive.
It's too excessive, but when did I last get flowers?
I'd rather get a bottle of gin, wouldn't you?
Ooh.
Like, flowers that's just great. Die, well, whereas the gin...
I love a bunch of flowers.
The gin lives on in memories.
Do you get something to go with the gin? Or do you have to provide that yourself?
Or chocolate.
Ooh.
If you want flowers more regularly, we'll have to cut back on the decorating on paper.
Oh, well, that's not romantic, Omar.
I definitely feel like she's not in... She's not wholly in the right here, and it's not like there's a right or wrong. They've both messed up. I just feel for her because it felt like she didn't have her point listened to. It felt like it was just Jaden selling us a little bit of a sob story, mm-hmm. and then everybody being like, oh, Eden, you're not as nice as we thought you were.
Yeah.
Whereas...
You say some horrible things.
She went quite quiet, didn't she?
And, yeah.
But I, you know, to be fair to him, that didn't sound very nice to have tried so hard and then have her turn around. When are you finally going to do something nice for me for once in your life?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, that's quite an old Fisherwife thing to say.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
For once in your
like you've been
life.
Married for 20 years or something.
I've said a few times so far this series, I still don't feel like I know Eden, and I still don't.
This has been more confusing than ever.
Yeah.
I was worried for a second that she was going to turn out to be old Blondie from 3 seasons ago.
Olivia.
I was worried that they'd edited her and suddenly she was going to be this horrible... It didn't feel like that
in the end.
But not turning up to the home stage was... Sorry to jump ahead.
No, it's fine. Go
on. But that was bad behaviour.
It was. But then I said to you, didn't I wouldn't want to get on a plane with him after that? Sold you, threw you under the bus or whatever to say.
But the producers have got to pay for another flight.
Well, yeah, true.
But they love the drama, I bet.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, it's going to cost another grand, but this is great
TV.
Yeah,
let's go with it. Let's tell her she can have another flight. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I was saying that at least when Ben disappeared,
he wrote a song. He used his time productively.
It seemed like he was just in the foyer of Sky Suites.
He was just hiding from the pigeons underneath. Like, he was looking up at the window waiting to be missed. It's embarrassing.
I'm outside.
I know. Yeah. Well, a few people have gone missing in the last few weeks because obviously we'll come to Tim and Lucinda. He went AWOL.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And it's like people just don't have the emotional maturity to just sit it out. And I mean, I don't know what I'd be like. I would maybe run away if there was a Zara sale or, you know, I could smell cinnamon rolls from down
the road. Go have your first KFC around the corner.
Well, what do we think about Eden and Jaden? Do we think they're going to... I mean, there's not long till final vows now.
I think
it's another week and then...
They're going to make it to final vows.
The way they've spoken about each other is very forward-thinking.
Yeah.
Like, they often talk about wanting to get on with each other's friends and family and fit in with each other's lives.
Yeah.
I say often, like, a couple of times. But it doesn't feel like they both... It does feel like they both really want it to work. And for that reason, it probably will.
Yeah.
At least, you know, temporarily.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a maths hot minute.
Yeah, they'll stay till the end.
Yeah, they'll stay till the end.
But he's so black and white. That's where they keep coming up against it, where I think he feels like he's got the moral obligation to just announce anything he's told, even if it's at the detriment of their relationship.
Yeah.
And then she's really closed in on herself. I remember learning about, like, ways that people argue, and the two extremes are like rhino and hedgehog. So rhinos go horn in, like they just run at you and they get aggressive, and hedgehogs go prickly and quiet and sort of cold shoulder.
Yeah,
right.
And she's like that. She disappears, she goes prickly, she doesn't want to talk about it, whereas he's a bit of a rhino.
Yeah,
and it can be a bit of a mismatch unless you work out that's
how
what you're doing.
The middle,
well, that
and be a duck-billed platypus in the middle.
Oh,
I don't know what would be.
Nice,
I don't know what would be the middle.
the home stays with them. With you saying about her being prickly, you know, they've been told at the commitment ceremony to over communicate. So Jaden's talking through it, and she's going, "I feel like I don't want to hash over the same thing 10 times." It's like, you are repeating yourselves, but you're not, because you're not opening up the discussion.
No,
you're just saying, I didn't want you to say it. He's just saying, I felt like I wanted to say it. You're both just stuck on these train tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I agree, you're repeating yourselves. you need to elaborate exactly on what, you're saying.
And your reasoning behind it, and maybe like even your history of why you've come to this point. Why does Jaden always want to call out people? Why does Eden not want to talk about it? Like, what was your family way of talking around the dinner table? Was it quite like passive aggressive, or was it just plain aggressive? Like, I get the sense from Jaden's family, knowing Mitch and having seen like just a little bit of their barbecue, it's quite like just lay it all out on the table, true Aussie style.
Let's talk about it.
But yeah, no, I think Jaden and Eden will probably find a way to make it work. They fancy, I think they fancy each other enough that they forgive each other.
They
quite
really
a lot.
Like each other.
It's like, for some people, not turning up for the flight might have been the end of it.
Well, I know. And for some, said he waited 3 hours.
I know. And then even as they were, it was quite interesting. If we go back to the commitment ceremony, they actually awkwardly held hands the entire time they were sort of laying into each other. It was quite, I couldn't work out whether they'd started off holding hands and there was no awkward moment, there was no right moment to let go. And so it got more, like, it got more heated.
We're in it now.
Or they were actually being quite sweet and sort of supporting each other. I think it might have been the former, but who knows?
I would have loved it if Timothy had chirped up at that point. Not so clever now, are you, dickhead?
Want some advice from a 51-year-old with gates around his heart and soul?
Well, let's, because they were actually, were they first? Oh, no, it was Tim and Sarah. But then after them, it was
Timothy and Lucinda. And she was like, I knew they were going to say
I mean, that section, it was all very nice, but they seemed to spend a lot of time talking to them with not much new information. Things at that point were progressing well. Obviously, he'd had the breakthrough at the retreat, and then the dinner party.
But even on the sofa, like, foreboding.
Right.
Like, for me, like, he had that breakthrough and said, I've wasted 51 years or however long he's wasted.
Yeah.
And then even on the sofa, like, he just seemed a little bit regretful of opening up, or a little bit like awkward, which is understandable. I'm not beating him up for it, but it's like, I didn't see loads of progress. That he'd had this epiphany of changing his life.
Yeah.
Like, road to Damascus style. Like, it just felt a little bit like he was having a, like they've talked about, an emotional hangover. He'd played Spin the Bottle, it had gone, never have I ever. He'd revealed too much, and I was like, oh shit, what did I say
what
yesterday?
What are we going to do now?
And you could just see that, like, it was still Lucinda doing a lot of the heavy lifting of turning into him and supporting him and saying he's so brave, and it's like, he's not ever giving her anything.
Yeah, that's true, but she's obviously putting in a lot more effort than he is.
Yeah.
But I'm also quite proud of how he has opened up. And the problem is, if it was someone else instead of Lucinda, which is a sort of pointless hypothetical, and that he'd got to this point, and then whatever this relationship, whoever it was with, probably isn't going to work because it's too much for him.
She's done the hard work, and actually the next person will benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We've all been there with a bad boyfriend where we've house trained them. But she even described it as like an accordion, didn't she?
Yeah.
Of like, it's not linear, which they've all said, and we all know this, but it's like in and out, and actually that's very exhausting, not just for him, but for her.
Yeah.
She doesn't know if she's waking up with Grumpy Tim or Happy Tim.
Yeah.
Not that there's many Happy Tims, but...
But you need something to keep you in it if it's not going to be linear.
Yeah.
That's why she needs more
from him. The affection.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come to with the homestays. Yeah. That was the friend. But actually, it was relatively... Why were there two balloons? Because I've got a note saying, we're going to stay... Oh, she'd drawn two balloons.
We're
going to stay with two balloons bobbing around, just supporting each other.
On celebrating ourselves.
Yeah, celebrating
ourselves and each other. I just thought, you don't have to justify and explain everything. I think that was the one, not a misstep, because I love Lucinda, but it was just like, did she just draw two balloons and then
had to make it look nice?
And then wrote a quick haiku. I know, it's so funny.
Jono.
Oh, yeah, just Jono.
Pointless, really.
Obviously, they're staying because, you know, Lauren's not there.
It would have been
to stay. I've got the news. She has also said she's going to stay in hospital.
I did think it would have been funny if he'd put leave just for a laugh.
Just for lols.
Yeah. If he'd got the go-ahead to do that from Lauren and then said, I'm just joking around.
Imagine if they'd both said leave as a joke and then they actually had to just leave.
Well, you said it now. Goodbye.
And then the experts are just really litigious and like, I'm really sorry you both wrote leave. You have to leave.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
Them's the rules.
I saw a clip on Twitter recently. I think it was in Mexico where a bride at a wedding made a joke like something like that, where, you know, she was asked, would she marry him? And he's like, and she said, no, I'm joking, you know, and all the family laughed and everything. And the official wouldn't continue the wedding. He was like, no, that's it. Chance gone. Ooh! Yeah, unbelievable.
That might be like a Catholic thing, maybe, if it's like a high church. Ooh, God.
No humour allowed in here.
I mean, it's a wrong time to make a joke, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. But it might be a nervous joke.
Yeah. Actually, people probably do that quite a bit. Yeah.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Next up,
Tristan and Cassandra.
Which this is what we thought would happen, isn't it? Based on the last week's worth of viewing, we didn't see him.
We didn't.
And the assumption we took from that was that things haven't changed.
Yep.
I was disappointed. I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was disappointed that he's told her he loved her, and then this week, by his own admission, he distanced himself.
Yeah.
That's not love.
Mm.
Like, I know we didn't fully believe when he said he loved her, but like he was. She wrote leave, he wrote stay. He had one chance to pull it around and he just distanced himself. So like, what was the point in saying you love someone if you're not going to put in that last fight? Like, come on, this is your last chance.
Yeah, but we sort of know this is what he does when he's hurt, don't we?
Yeah.
Or sad or low or, you know, he just withdraws. So I think we probably could have predicted if she's going to write leave,
I wasn't
surprised.
He's going to
withdraw and then that's it, they're done, aren't they?
It just felt like he had this one last like glimmer of a chance.
Yeah, he even said, actually, which I thought was a bit of an odd thing to say, you know, if we reconnect in the future and all this, it's like, you fucked it, mate.
That's can't put her on the back burner. And if you can't work like that.
Yeah, and if you can't make it work with like these like world experts.
Yeah.
And
when
this,
you haven't got outside pressures of
work and a paid flat together in the middle of Sydney.
I don't know though, but you know, that's counterbalanced by all the pressure of the experiment.
By the fact it's all on telly.
Yeah. If he was just in his day-to-day life and he, maybe he continues with some level of therapy to help him love himself and all that sort of stuff.
And maybe the support of his friends and family actually might have been helpful for him.
Yeah. Do you think overall this experiment's been good for him or bad for him?
I think good. Net, I'd like to hedge my bets and think good. Good net result.
He's had some experience.
He's got Timothy now.
Yeah, true. And he's had some experience with women.
Yeah.
But I just worried that like his two biggest fears were like being rejected by a woman and then being called fat.
Oh, body image.
And he had both of those things in this bloody experiment. Like, that's poor guy. Yeah.
That's true. But then
Omar's so mean.
But he
voiced those two huge fears and they both happened.
Well, so like, yeah, but now he's lived through them.
Yeah,
and he's
true.
Still all right.
It's like so exposure actually, therapy.
Yeah. So maybe actually that has been helpful for him.
Because
even though he had that one awful comment, the group really rallied around him.
So you think better than Michael, who's come on one series and been rejected twice.
Michael, one of the most beautiful people I've seen on TV, and he got rejected twice. But one good thing is Tristan goes away with some free supplements and a keyring
to remind him that he is enough. More could you want from Max? You've got no wife, but you've got those keyrings.
I mean, we love Cassandra.
She deserved a lot better, bless her.
Yeah, the favourite bits of Cassandra was when she was putting people in their place quite firmly but also sweetly.
She wasn't. A bit like Lucinda, like always fair, always kind, but sometimes quite direct, because actually we've seen Lucinda be like, well, that's bad behaviour, or I would call it cruel. She talked about Jack. I would call that cruel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come to that, but yeah, no, Cassandra's been gorgeous, like very few moments where I would, you know, she should have handled herself differently.
And she had, you know, infinite patience, seemingly.
Infinite patience.
Like, well, I guess not infinite, because it's week six.
Yeah.
She had 6 weeks.
She got to a point, five.
Yeah,
she would have left last week.
Oh, she could have done a lot better than that, couldn't she?
Yeah. There's our downfall.
Since they're gone, maybe what we should do, although we've not done this for any of the other departed couples, maybe we don't care as much about them, is what's your favourite moment of them as a couple? I'll start with, I liked where he was... Well, sort of two things. One was on the honeymoon, was can I give you a goodnight kiss? And then also when he hadn't done it, and then a few days later when he got the flower to give to her, and then he didn't kiss her, was like, I should have done it then, fucked it up.
Oh, God.
I mean, their best moment was probably at the altar on their wedding day, where they were giggly and cute and into each other, and then it was almost like downhill from there.
Yeah.
And Moddy's speech, that's my favourite part of their relationship.
I thought you were going to say Moddy.
Yeah.
But Sarah will say Moddy's the best bit.
I love him.
I don't know what... I think maybe Cass's little bits to camera when she was talking about Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lying
to her second language.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I forgot one thing John said to Jaden and Eden before we move on from them. I know we've already moved on from them.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at them both and went, "You're both very upset and this pleases me."
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And it made total sense.
I love the fact you're both in emotional pain.
Yeah, it made total sense. But it was just the way you said it. It was very, like, very evil.
Yeah.
Well, that's an almost perfect segue, actually, to go on to our next couple, because we'll start with John. I've become very bored.
Is this Jack and Tori?
Jack, I need to know how you feel about Tori.
Oh, God.
Because I'm not buying it. John's been particularly good this year.
And they've tried every tactic in the book, yeah, haven't they? They've tried, like, protecting Tori, reasoning with Tori, yeah, shaking Tori, yeah, verbally.
This episode, they tried a childlike pantomime between, yeah, Mel and John.
What would your husband say about you?
Might say.
You're the best thing about it. Sliced bread. I know, it was Patrick. And, like, why did he say, "I've been sleeping with..."
Oh, my God.
That didn't make any sense.
I said this to you.
You know
he
what,
just
though?
Uses sleep as an example of, like, whether something's affected him or not. Do you remember he said something, he'd lost sleep over something or another he'd done?
Which
obviously he hadn't.
Yeah, obviously.
But it seems to be, like, a barometer for him of,
like
oh, that means it's good. Oh, that means it's bad.
Yeah. If he wasn't a toxic person, we might be like, oh, that's quite sweet. Like, she's obviously very good for his nervous system. And, like, they both sleep well.
I was
going to
say, given that with the last couple of nights we've had in this flat with bagels settling in, a good night's sleep is a real treat.
Nothing to be
a real treat.
But when it's the only thing your partner can say about you.
I sleep well at night. Oh, great. Right, well, that's nice.
But, like, it's been fascinating because obviously we feel like we're on the point of view of the experts being, like, so pissed off and bored with them. Seeing they have tried all these different tactics.
Yeah.
They've tried shaming him. They've tried
listing his indiscretions.
They've tried to save her. Like, watch out, look out, and they must be beating their heads against the wall of what's going to get into them.
Yeah.
This time they tried prodding her more directly, like, "Tori, are you for real?"
Yeah.
Like, you've heard.
Yeah, he went, "Tori, are you for real?" Which is so satisfying to see because it feels like they're genuinely shaken by this. They're genuinely confused.
Yeah, but I do sort of think they were just deliberately winding her up with, well, he was, sorry, that was John, wasn't
John.
It? "Are you for real?" Because if somebody says to you, "Are you for real?"
She went, "Am I for real?"
Exactly. So our defences went up straight away. And then it's a case of, "I'm right, you're wrong, yes I am."
Yeah.
So you're not going to get past that.
From that point on.
If you say to someone, "Are you for real?"
Yeah. From that,
so
that point
was for
on,
dramatic purposes.
They were, even when they were revealing that they were going to stay, they were doing it overly smugly. That
yeah,
they were, like,
really
playing
smugly.
Up. Because you're right,
yeah.
they did. But I get it from John. Like,
yeah,
fuck it,
well, it's good telly.
Like,
they've almost
it.
Got nothing to lose at this point. They've warned her so many times.
Yeah.
Because how many more times, how many new ways can you say it? But Mel said, "You're more concerned with protecting him than listening to yourself."
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really good way of summing it up. Because we haven't actually heard as much from Tori about what she likes about him as her defending the things other people don't like about him.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of, like, defense of, "That's not the real him, it's fine. He said sorry, he'll show me he's sorry." We haven't heard her be like, "Oh, he really makes me laugh. Oh, he's so kind. We have such a laugh in the flat. He's always buying me flowers." You know, the things that Jaden's been told he does, or we've seen some of the other grooms do. And it's like, we're not hearing what's keeping you here.
Yeah.
But then she goes to the other extreme of, "He makes me feel safe and secure."
Yeah.
But that feels like
people don't understand.
No, but I think she's trotting that.
Be the case.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That feels like something she's heard because she said she's never been in a good relationship.
Yeah.
So this might be this really
maybe
sad.
Maybe it is the most.
This
safe
might be
and
the best
she's
relationship
felt.
She's been in, which is horrific.
Yeah.
So maybe she does, like, you know, if we're going to compare them, maybe she does feel, like, on a scale a little bit more safe and secure.
Yeah.
But it also feels like she's just doing a line which people can't argue with. Like, I feel safe
well, but
and secure.
Mel sort of tried to argue
know,
with it a bit, didn't she? Like, really, after these things that
he
said to
says
other people.
This, you know, like, she needs to. But maybe her eyes are open. This is always the question mark, isn't it? What's her motivation? Is she just staying there out of stubbornness? Is it to get a celebrity career out of it afterwards?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know. It's bizarre to have Jade say, again, this is what he said.
Oh, yeah, because John asked
John
Jade
asked John
about
asked
it,
and
that,
that's when that's she was going, okay, well, if that's how he feels, then fair enough. And that's what prompted the Tory.
How is that fair enough? You know, it's like,
it's so weird.
Your partner has said that if it was anybody else, you'd have slept with them by now. But Yui hasn't. But that's fair enough.
It's because I respect you too much.
I know.
Oh, God.
I try and imagine what are the things that are, like, keeping her there. And, like, we do often see him with his arm around her or his hand on
her.
Like, we see a way that he's sort of not... I don't know if it's, like, a physical control, but it is, like, he's trying to prove something to her. He's trying to give her enough to keep her, like, a little bit... I don't know. And then also they said they were doing bits. Did they? Yeah.
But then
they said something like, fingering. We're in a sexual relationship. Like, what did you say?
Fingering.
Gross. I think they said something like, we're in a sexual relationship. But again, I would back them on, like, people need to drop the final, like, hurdle thing, because it's just a bit immature.
Yeah.
But maybe it has progressed a little bit. Yeah. And maybe behind closed doors, she feels admired or fancied. Yeah. And then she hears this stuff and it doesn't... She's obviously believing her own narrative in her head of... Yeah. I don't know, it's so confusing. I cannot quite... You know, as much as we try and articulate it, I can't understand
it. Yeah. And again, we're just on train tracks with them where it's been the same now for a few weeks. If she was going to do something, she would have done it weeks 100%. Ago. So they're going to go to final vows.
They're almost the most guaranteed to be out of everybody.
They'll both recommit just out of spite.
They're going to make it to the end.
Out of spite, stubbornness.
100%. Are you for real? Yeah, we're going to make this... Didn't she say that?
I was just going to say, she sort of said that. Was that not why they're not going to sleep together?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't want to give everyone the satisfaction.
And actually, that gives her back the power in her head. Because obviously he's been withholding sex.
Yeah.
And if she's like, oh, well, we're both not doing it just to spite everyone and no one cares. But, like, but presumably that gives her a little bit more control back in her head.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen now when they'll recommit when they're out in the real world.
In the wild.
Yeah.
You will not see him for dust. He will be off. He'll jog off.
He'll be in the gym on the treadmill.
But where do they live compared to each other? Are they anywhere near?
Well, they're going to Queensland, aren't they, for his homestay?
Well,
and I can't remember where she's from.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can remember. But we won't tell you, because you probably haven't seen the preview, I'm guessing.
For the homestay?
Nope. Very interesting homestay.
Even the preview made me angry.
Oh, excellent. One quick question. Do Jaden and Eden both live on the Gold Coast? Because Has her dad flown from Sydney or wherever it was Perth?
Yeah,
Perth,
they're doing like a joint homestay, aren't they, it seems?
Yeah, they're both on the Gold Coast.
Who was next on the
final?
Richard and Jade?
Oh, fuck, I forgot about
Richie. Everything's fine with them.
It ends with Richie and Andy. Rich and Jade, I had a little tear in my eye.
Did you?
Yes, because he wrote that sweet little packed lunch note.
Oh, for the kid. Yeah.
I thought that was really cute.
Because that was very cute.
I feel like he's doing things that we're not seeing on camera, and he doesn't know Jade is going to tell the group. So he's not necessarily doing them for the glory of them. He's doing quite sweet little supportive things.
He's doing it for them.
That we hear back by accident almost. Because she almost didn't tell that story. I think she was asked, how's it? Do you know what I mean?
It's
not like he's done things just so people see him do it.
No. I think they're very genuine with each other.
Yeah.
Really cute.
Their homestays will be interesting as well, because I don't know. I think we did see it in the preview, but now I can't remember whether it's going to be.
It's not his friends, is it?
No, yeah. They're going to Jade's.
That's right. I was wondering, because he lives at home, doesn't he?
So that's
a minor spoiler for you. They're going to Jade's.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. Should we go to Andy and Richie then?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't as... I don't know, you found it kind of upsetting.
I think it was quite sad.
I don't know.
I feel like it was sad. Maybe they were both sad.
Maybe it's because we knew, look, this is done.
Yeah.
That I think it just felt like almost a formality that I was
the last therapy session before they say, right, you can sign the divorce papers now. You've done the appropriate amount of therapy.
We've all decided it's time to
end. I find it really... I don't know what the right word is, but it is strange, because I think we're used to seeing 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and we're used to seeing people who almost look like they're cosplaying as married and like doing the roles. But these two felt like your mum and dad were having this last fight, you know, because of their age and because of their experience. It felt like a real marriage was breaking down, whereas some people, you know, like Jono and Lauren, they're going fine, but they don't seem that into each other.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, we know Jack and Tori will crash and burn, but like these two... They really could have had something quite special.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is why, prior to the dinner party episode, when it was, we were doing the live show, And I put on Twitter, that's one of the most painful arguments I've seen on maths. And I think it was because it was so genuine.
Yeah.
It was, that was like a proper, we're not here for drama.
No.
It's not about text messages and there's like some proper issues.
Relationship argument. Stuff.
Yeah,
it felt like you were seeing, not to use a long word, but like a microcosm or like, you know, like a flash in the pan of a bigger, longer marriage, divorce.
Yeah.
It felt like you were seeing that on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
It felt very real. It felt very... Imagine they'd been together 20 years and eventually it all broken down. That's what it felt like. But then she said something really interesting about, we didn't know each other then.
Exactly.
No.
That sexual thing was more like a holiday romance.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, summer loving.
It's like two good weeks they had, really.
Yeah.
10 days when he boiled it down. He said 10 days.
God.
And he started crying like, I'll never forget those 10 days. It literally was Danny and Sandy, but instead of met a boy, met a 62-year-old.
I'm gonna for the I've got two of these, but I'm gonna sort of break the fourth wall a bit.
Oh gosh!
Because
Richie is a robot.
Well, no, quite the opposite. Someone has been in touch with us.
It's something Sarah even knows. No,
I thought I'd save it.
There's very little I know in life.
I can tell from the time you tried to make us a cup of coffee.
I think I use gravy granules. Carry on.
Somebody has been in touch with us who wishes to remain anonymous, but they work on Maths Australia.
Consider me intrigued.
Exactly.
At a high level as a producer.
Stop it.
And production. Has said that... I'm just trying to remember exactly what I can't say. So, and they have said that Richie's had a really unfortunate representation of himself. So sorry if this bit sounds clunky, because I'm probably going to have to edit around the times where I've given away.
Accidentally dropped their gender and...
Yeah.
Hey, great.
Well, yeah. This person... says that Richie is a reliable narrator and can understand why, from what the viewer has been shown, that he's had such a hard time, that he's getting such a hard time. But...
As in his edit's not been fair, according to them.
Yes. And they say, he's a lovely guy, really authentic, and he's not been portrayed in the way that he was... during their time together, you know. If you know,
do you think that
sense.
Person then thinks that Andy was not quite who she was portrayed to be?
Well, that's
my kickback question.
Yeah,
because I love Andy.
We're hoping that we might get to talk to this inside source whistleblower.
Oh, yeah,
are we going to morph their voice
like Jerry Adams?
Yeah. Put it through one of those TikTok filters. Like, I'm going. Yeah.
But as Lucinda.
As Lucinda. Put Lucinda's voice on it.
But I would also say, we've seen that. To say she was gaslighting him seems...
They both sort of accused each other of gaslighting. Making things up.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because even a production person... of unknown gender or name, even a production person doesn't see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be somebody who comes across, I'm not defending Richie, I don't really know, but there could be someone who comes across as Mr. Nice Guy and actually could be quite nasty behind closed doors when there's no cameras. Or we just don't know 100% with anybody.
Yeah, of course.
And the edit's so weird, isn't it? Because you do rely on just being shown someone's real character. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what you're not shown.
Yeah.
Or like an example where it felt like nobody spoke up about the muzzle comment, for example.
Mm-hmm.
All the men could have spoken up and none of it might have been shown on TV.
Yeah.
And then we're left thinking, obviously we know now, I think it was just Timothy, but you don't know. Like, that's what's out of your control. And it's obviously it's an entertainment show, but there's a level of frustration of, I do actually want to know what these people are really like.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to know which horse to back.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but then this is where the entertainment side of it comes in. Because for me and this podcast, I feel what we... hopefully do most of the time is find the sweet spot between going, we're just responding to what we've seen as though it's a film,
mm-hmm.
and these are fictional people, and we're not going to slag them off too badly because we know they're not fictional people.
Yeah.
But also, I know you've said you'd watch 24 hours of it to get to the truth. I'm all right with the hour and a half. 90 minutes is fine, and to be honest, you could chop 20 out of that.
I know. I'm not sure if I meant that. Maybe I was having a bad day.
Maybe you're just very into maths on that day.
It is awkward, because Richie might be Lucinda levels of beautiful person, and the edit has made him look bad. But I don't know how much interest I have in finding out whether that's the case
and
or
you
not.
Also, you know,
I mean, I'd love to talk to the this person
yeah.
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can edit things out, but you can't put words in someone's mouth. Yeah. And we know some things Richie has actually said haven't been the most favourable. And we know also that he has had her really sad next to him and sort of still wanted to be right rather than kind.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I, as much as I respect this whistleblower, I don't know how much of that to believe or how much of that to...
Yeah, yeah.
Not to put them off appearing on the show. It's just hard, isn't it? You just don't know.
Yeah.
But that was a sad but inevitable feeling of sofa appearance.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And she sort of ruined it as well at the end when she said... Before she revealed leave, she said, Richie and I have agreed to leave.
Yeah.
And then there was a clunky edit, because then they may as well show him literally in the same 2 seconds later.
I sort of liked that, though, because they've had a conversation about it.
But that's
and
why,
agreed.
Sorry.
And they keep saying blindsiding each other, don't they, on the couch or whatever.
So true.
Neither of them were blindsided, you know, because they'd seen it, they'd discussed it first.
But even Cass and Tristan said that.
Yeah.
I think that's been more respectful when people can feel that it's a dead horse.
Yeah.
Not worth flogging.
Please don't make me stay another week.
But that is also why it felt like a little bit more like mature.
Yeah.
It was like, Mummy and Daddy have come to this decision. We still love you, but we're going to live in separate houses.
No, I did think it was sad. They were both genuinely upset, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's also frustrating because it's very hard to be aware when you're in something, and I'm sure there's things I do that could end a marriage, but when you're watching another couple, you're like, this was very easily fixed. Like, you're just not quite listening.
Yeah.
You're actually well matched in terms of interests and lifestyle and age.
And obviously they had chemistry.
And there's, you're ticking so many of these boxes. And so as a viewer, it's been so frustrating because you're just not quite listening to each other.
Yeah.
And that's almost like an exponential thing of like, that just goes off the charts because it then just turns into these huge things.
Yeah.
But you're like, they're sat there announcing their divorce and you're like, I actually think this could have been saved.
Yeah. Well, as an outsider, it seemed easy for them to be able to save it.
Yeah,
like,
listen.
If Richard just sat back, heard what you had to say, met her with some, you know, empathy and acknowledgement of how she was feeling, and if she maybe gave him a bit more leeway with some things, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's things they both could have done. But as viewers, we can see that.
Yeah.
But they're too far in it, and they can't do it.
Do you think he... Do you think he left her one of his scarves?
Oh. And sprayed a bit of his aftershave on it.
Remember?
Probably. Or invited her to one of his workshops of life coaching. What's he?
Motivational
speaker. Put on the front row and try and motivate her.
But motivational speaking mustn't involve listening.
No.
Because he said something like, part. What was it? Saying I'm not listening is the same thing as saying I'm wrong. It's like, no, Richard, that is not the same thing. You've hit on the fundamental problem there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, true.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm alive. I fucking love her.
Yeah,
she's got these wild eyes and she's just so funny. I'm alive.
I also loved it that then they cut from I'm alive to to then instantly pour in a massive glass of wine.
I know. So,
yeah, she's awesome.
What's it called? Someone who just loves food and drink is like an Epicurean. She's just so into
that's a nice
her.
Word.
She's just so into her nice little cheese platters and pouring the wine. And we saw them later.
It looks so nicely chilled that way.
Yeah.
Could he be less arsed though?
That's what I've written down. Could you be a bit more excited, Jono?
Yeah.
He's like, he'll say, oh, I'm excited to see it. Then he turned up at the door. Hi, Lauren.
He did a one-armed hug as well. They both did a bit of a... Maybe it's because she's had surgery. We have to give them a bit of a doubt.
Maybe.
It didn't feel like a couple who were on the brink of having sex again. It felt like a couple who were like pen pals. Or
she
like
seemed a lot
cousins.
More excited than him.
Yeah.
And she said that absence makes a heart
grow fonder. But he has said that before, but I don't know if I believe him.
Yes.
It's like they're saying all the right things and... They're saying all the right things,
squeaky toy.
And they're becoming better matched the more she mellows and the more he gets used to her. But I don't actually fully buy them as a couple who fancy each other or a couple who are planning their future together. I don't know.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, again, I think they might get to the end. I'm not sure.
Do you think they'll go to final vows?
I think they'll go to final vows only because it's so close now.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it was interesting because she was really putting a lot of emphasis on her absolutely insane friend liking
him. Oh, the friend,
Mackenzie. Yeah, Mackenzie. I instantly took a dislike to her, but then I thought, well, I felt the same about Lauren.
I know.
And they are best mates.
They did seem quite similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And actually, Mackenzie was really nice about Jono in the end.
Yes,
like
she
if
was.
if she'd been unnecessarily dismissive of him, then it'd be like, oh, you're just being
another
like
another one of those.
You're
friends.
Just being annoying for the sake of it. But actually, when she gave her blessing, that was quite sweet. And that's actually the first time I've seen Lauren maybe like soften and say she actually quite likes him.
Yeah.
It was quite a good homestay, really.
It was a successful homestay.
It was the most like emotionally mature out of the ones that we saw. Mm-hmm.
You liked her apartment complex, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, because they had that, well, I don't know what,
barbecue
hot plate thing outside next to the pool or something.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
That's nice.
It looks really posh.
I liked her big white shirt.
Yeah.
That was giving me like Diane Keaton or like Meryl Streep cooking, you know, like in a nice
very
little
90s.
Nancy Myers film.
Yeah.
Pouring a big glass of Sauvignon Blanc in their big rustic kitchen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it 1987?
No, it was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know what I think about those two. I like them individually. Well, I like her. And I think he is probably quite good husband material because he's quite straight down the line. He's quite well spoken. He's got nice things about him, but he did let her down that one major time.
Yeah. And he's got a really irritating
Jonathan.
Voice.
But they both like restaurants and they're both good cooks.
That was quite a
bonding over food, you know.
Yeah.
Bonding over food and wine.
So then we were at Jaden and Eden's homestay, and I was a bit confused because obviously they must live close to each other. Her dad just rocks up and have the producers paid for him to come across Australia. It felt like a bit of a non-starter because what we've talked about before, he wants to have these conversations and she's just sort of shushing him. So we didn't get the goss, we didn't hear them unpack anything, we didn't get the family weighing in because she just sort of didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and her dad's advice was the amazingly generic... Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. I couldn't tell whose dad was whose.
Did we see that? Because you said this, actually.
Well, I thought Jaden's dad was on the barbecue.
Presumably, because it's
but
his
then
house.
We just didn't see him again.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Then he didn't seem
away.
To be around that
right,
table at all.
Right, okay.
Did you see the sign above their patio that said old tarts and farts
area?
Oh,
yeah. God.
Nice pool, though. I mean, Australians do have a nice life, don't they?
Don't they?
Yeah, but then you're surrounded by Australians.
Everyone's just so beautiful. There's pools everywhere
and
the palm
beach
trees.
Is so
the
close.
Beaches, the Gold Coast looked incredible.
They were all off to the beach, weren't they?
What do you guys think of Mitch's T-shirt? I think it's the worst thing I've seen.
It was so 90s.
What did it say?
Oh, it just had like holes in it. And
it was
like,
that
oh,
light blue. It
yeah.
said in bold print "official" across the chest,
oh,
and then
it
had holes.
Oh yeah.
And then he had his like 90s haircut and 90s sunglasses.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's young enough that the 90s have made a full comeback, I guess. And Mitch's misogynism was showing, as well as the little skin coming out of his heart and his t-shirt. When he purposely said, I wouldn't let a woman control me.
Yep.
Rather than I wouldn't let a partner, I wouldn't want to be controlled in a relationship.
Yeah.
He was like, as if being controlled by a woman is like the lowest state of affairs. Like, you might as well be dead.
You might as well have a t-shirt with no holes in it.
Like, controlled by a woman. They've only had the vote for 5 years.
But how is it? I wonder again how this was presented to him by Jaden, because how is it controlling him to say, do you mind if I just tell you something privately that's just between us?
I really think this is another case of Jaden gets ahead with his narrative. And yeah. I do feel like it's a bit unfair. Like, I don't think she's trod very well here, and I don't think he has either, but he just seems to tell his story. Yeah. And obviously, like, she hasn't painted herself in the best light by just not getting on the flight and letting him arrive without her and all that sort of stuff. And then trying to put it all under the carpet.
Yeah. It was that thing.
She's done herself no favours.
She does that thing of, yeah, this happened, but we're fine now.
So
I don't know if that was what Mitch was kind of trying to say, was controlling.
But... And it was frustrating, because actually, of course they'd benefit from being more open and having everybody's feedback, because that just brings it all to light. And, you know, like, things are less scary in the light, and, you know, there's no shame in... They're on an experiment. There's no shame in saying we're having problems. It's not like they've been married for 20 years. And that'd be fine too. Everyone has problems. But it's like, she just... I don't know whether we can trace it back to, like, what her emotional and romantic history has been. Yeah. Like, she was really screwed over. Mm. Maybe she just wants everything to be private because everybody knew her ex was cheating and she felt out of control.
Yeah.
So maybe now it's like, I don't want everyone to know if there's holes in my relationship.
Yeah.
As big as holes in Mitch's t-shirt.
Oh, God.
But that was, I mean, what Mitch said was a bit,
meh. I know. It's not really control, is it?
No.
Well, we don't know, you know.
The way Jaden's worded it might have not been great.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, if Jaden really likes Eden, he needs to sort of protect her how he words things for the longevity of the relationship, so his family aren't going to hate her.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, don't slag her off to your brother. Be like, oh, well, we've had a few hiccups. This is what's happened, and it's been both of our faults, and la la la.
Yeah.
But actually just going, oh, she's trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Of course.
And if they'd had their homestay, like, what, literally a week ago, would he have said everything was fine?
I know.
Because all this has just happened, hasn't it? He's just said all of this on the couch.
Yeah.
And so now does he just feel like he's so justified in saying it all?
Yeah.
That he's just going to say it and get everyone on his side. But Eden is still in a position of, well, things are really good, but we've had this hiccup.
I know.
You know, the thing about Jaden, though, is every time...
Yeah, I do. Because I know exactly what you're going to say, because it really, really got to me this.
Every time... You have a problem with something I do, Eden. I accept it. I apologise for it. I learn and I fix it.
That's exactly what every time I've written in capital letters. Come on, because he's so, so perfect.
He is so black and white, isn't he?
I just feel that is just so unfair. Well, no, you don't. That's just not realistic. That's not real life.
Yeah, and it's like, again, a lot of the people here in this process this year say things that you think by the book is the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I make mistakes, but I'm a...
Is that Jack?
I'm a fully rounded individual. I can learn from those mistakes and expand as a human being.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing any of those things. You just learned some words, Brad.
All right, Socrates. I know. We've talked about them already a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll probably get to final vows.
Yeah, I think maybe
a little bit doomed if they can't work on their communication style.
Yeah.
But the same with all these couples. Like, obviously, people come in with different communication styles. And you would think this show would be more successful because you've got these experts helping you.
Yeah.
But people still don't quite listen.
Yeah.
And if we think about Tristan as an example, he was told what to do time and time again. It crashed and burned. He's gone... And he's left.
Yeah.
And I feel for him because he's a nice guy, but people don't really listen to what they're told to do.
Yeah. Or, and I think coming to our final couple, the work that they have to do...
Is enormous.
Is enormous.
Yeah.
Let's start on something lighter with Timothy and Lucinda. What do you think of his flat? Because to be fair, the other week for the live show, I could have done with that photocopier.
We have no room for that.
Johnny was wetting himself because it's on a lease, but it's all smashed.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point? Just get someone to pick it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was a very small, like, surface area. Like, it was a small flat. Everything was on top of each other. That takes up a lot of, like,
retail.
What's it called? Space, you know, like
headspace. Space.
Yeah, floor space.
Oh, I thought you were just, you know, relating it to his mental health.
Yeah.
Well, no, I do think, though, that there is something to be said for that, because then
spaciousness, as Lucinda would put it.
And she thought all those cuddly toys were him.
But you thought he'd been a bit stitched up, because those dogs would have been left there.
He had been stitched up there, as if the dogs have just been weeing and pooing all over the flat.
Of course.
They've just been there by themselves for 6 weeks.
And whoever came to let the dogs back in didn't tidy up.
Yeah, exactly.
Plates and things.
I did think, has he had somebody living there? And the producers maybe just go, no, it's fine, you go now.
Yeah.
You know, and then they come in and it's just like, looks like a bomb site.
In fairness, it wasn't, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been
And
a
it
lot
had
worse.
A really nice outdoor space that he looked after. Little hot tub, all the plants.
Yeah. And like, I mean, inside, it's not big enough for that hot tub, that outdoor space. No.
And inside, it wasn't horrific. It was more just like, he didn't tidy before he left for the experiment. Yeah. Or like you say, someone's been living there.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a man cave.
It's a lot of stuff.
His bed wasn't the best.
Oh, God.
It was very student-y, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
was
like, well, that's I put that he's living the most single man life.
Yeah,
with the hot tub outside.
Would you have chosen those dogs for him?
No, I was surprised
dogs.
There were two, yeah. Because we'd seen one of the dogs earlier.
Yeah,
but we hadn't seen the little, the more scruffy looking one.
Yeah, well, Lucinda got to know them very well.
And she was her usual very like diplomatic self. Yeah. Like, well, everyone's different, and it's an interesting space. But like, I mean, good on him.
And then we got a glimpse of her home. Yeah. Byron Bay, where she's got all this light and
she's
space,
like a millionaire. It's
she's
huge.
Got like a singing bowl or whatever, know. You know.
Yeah, it's a nice place. That, but we could tell. You can always tell with Tim. He doesn't. You know, his emotions are on his sleeve.
No.
He was a bit grumpy. A bit. He needed some space. He needed his own space.
He did, and I respect that. She doesn't quite walk on eggshells. She loves herself enough that she says what she needs to say, and she asks the right questions, and she doesn't prod him, but she asks.
Yeah.
She gently sort of inquires, and then she steps back.
Yeah.
She doesn't get in a huff.
Yeah.
But he's not talking to her.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't like bait him.
Mm-hmm.
Or she doesn't give him the cold shoulder. I think if I was in that scenario, I'd maybe give someone the cold shoulder to be like, well, if they're not talking to me, why am I making the effort?
Yeah.
It's good. You're right. She does address things sort of head on, but not rhino style.
Yeah.
Somewhere
she's in the middle. She's the platypus.
She's the platypus. She's the unicorn. And then... I mean, he did say, I need to be on my own.
Because, and she accepted that. She totally understood it, because it's a lot of emotional work that he's done.
Yeah.
And then he's back in his own house and things, and she accepted it. Go out for a walk for an hour.
Seven or eight hours later.
Yeah, they showed it was like just before midnight when she was getting into bed.
Yeah, the suitcases all over.
Suitcase
so
on the bed.
So there's a suitcase against the wall, then she got in, then the dog's got on. So
but
where Timothy was going to sleep, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, where's Timothy going to sleep? At his friend's house.
Yeah.
Is this before or after the friend dropped the bombshell?
Oh, this was after.
Oh, yeah, that's
met
right.
Met his friends first,
I think
they?
Almost the whole experiment hinged on what that friend said.
Yeah.
Which I know I'm putting a lot of emphasis on it just to be dramatic, but it did feel like something shifted. You could see Lucinda listening, a bit crestfallen, and thinking, well, I've done all this work, and I'm not getting any of the things he gives in a normal relationship.
Yeah.
None of which have worked, and I don't know how old these girls have been. He might like dote on someone who's 20 years younger or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the friend said, oh, he's a real nurturer.
He's a doter.
He dotes on
he's
them.
He's a protector.
And she's sitting there thinking, I have not had an ounce of that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not an ounce.
Yeah. Not at all.
And to be fair, she would probably only need an ounce, because I don't think she needs nurturing and protecting.
Well, no, she says,
this is it. Yeah.
She said something really lovely, which was like, I'm a strong, independent woman, but I'm in my feminine state where I'd like to be cared for, which is fair enough. You know, feminism means you get to choose. But she hasn't really had any of that. She's looked after him like a baby bird, and she hasn't had anything back.
I just think he's got the impression from her, she doesn't need to be doted on, she doesn't need nurturing, she doesn't need protecting, because she does all that for herself. And maybe there's something about a partner, maybe he needs someone who needs nurturing, who needs protection, who needs to be doted on, so he hasn't connected with her really.
Maybe.
I think all this, the feeling drained from talking about emotions so much, wasn't helped by my second bit of inside information.
Oh.
From Michael Harmston, friend of the show.
Oh, I don't know about this.
He gets a lot of mentions.
I think he gets more mentions than Johnny, but it's a close tie. Is he good looking? Hello, Michael.
Never met him.
He said that Tim's best mate's dad had died in those few days.
Tim's best mate's dad. Was that best mate at the lunch? Presumably
I'm not. I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe the other guy.
Yeah, the guy.
The guy
talking
who was
to
like his best man, and then was there in the brewery bit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, that's probably had an effect as well.
Oh, so that could have been the friend you meant to meet, even. Potentially. If we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Potentially,
but still, yeah. There's ways of handling things.
Of course.
And we know that Lucinda wasn't contacted by him for like 7 or 8 hours.
I even wonder if what happened was he went out with this fella, ended up going out and getting shit-faced.
As a release.
As a release for himself and also for his mate. And it's just ended up being like... It's one thing too far, which something we've said it's too much too soon for Timothy.
Yeah.
And then that, although it's obviously directly his own family or anything, it's similar to what's happened to himself 2 months earlier. It's like,
and also he doesn't have any family, so his friend's dad could be someone he feels really close to, or we don't know. Yeah. But there's ways of I keep coming back to, he's 51 years old, and there's ways of communicating. Even if you're struggling and it's been too much, could he say, look, have you got something fun you could do tonight? I don't want to leave you on your own.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lovely little cinema down the road. There's a lovely little restaurant. Why don't you go do that? I'm going to see a friend. Let's come back tomorrow and have a date. Like, there's ways of communicating that you need time on your own, or even that you need time with a friend.
Yeah.
But he sort of misled her by saying he needed to be on his own and then going to meet a friend and not communicating that he was going to be out late. And why does she want to be in his shitty little flat on her own?
I know. Of course, yeah.
I mean, she's got those dogs.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Those plants, the hot tub. I could just imagine you in the hot tub with a bottle of champagne. But I mean, I have all this sympathy for Timothy, and then I also have to remind myself he's a grown man who needs to be able to explain at least if he's having an off day, explain it in a kind way.
Yeah,
you're allowed an off day.
I mean, I'm being supportive of him, especially if that is the case about there's been another death sort of relatively close to him.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, because the thing, if he'd said to Lucinda, I'm going out with my mate, we're probably going to get shit-faced. Yeah. I won't be back for a while. I know it's not ideal. We'll have a good date tomorrow. Yeah. But the thing is, even if he'd given her that explanation, it's another thing where she's given him...
permission to go...
And what does she get out of it? Yeah. And she's never really got anything out of it from Timothy.
She described it as, I deserve more than sloppy jalops.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, we watched her on this episode. It was quite sobering, wasn't it? Because we watched her on this episode finally come to the end of her tether and still be very fair and very kind and not speak badly of him.
Well, she said, I'm not angry. No. Yeah. I'm disappointed a bit because I came into this with there were moments of hope, but I just feel bad for him that... You mentioned it earlier that he's got these cages around his heart.
He's going to be lonely. Yeah. And I do wonder, is he going to be lonely, or is he going to take everything he's learnt with Lucinda and be an amazing partner for the next person who maybe is a different personality type, who's more needy or whatever. But
I wonder, I reckon he's going to take, if I had to put money on it, I think in these situations and at his age, he's going to take a million steps backwards and go back to where he was and just be dating probably someone... younger and
then he won't have to delve into it.
Yeah, someone who needs looking after in a more superficial sense.
But do you know what was interesting? I wonder if our listeners feel the same. I imagine lots of them do. I wasn't like, I respected Lucinda's... I respected where Lucinda was coming from.
Oh, absolutely.
And she had on her biggest pair of gold earrings.
Oh, I love those hoops.
She had on her blue fur. And I was like, she's dressed in her fiercest outfit. She was like J-Lo in that, you know, that winter music video with the fur. And she told it like it is.
Yeah.
And you had to respect the fact that she'd given everything. And the other thing I liked that she said was... I know I've done everything I can. Because there'll be things we haven't even seen. Mm. And you have to live with yourself. Like, you don't know how you're going to be edited. You don't know how you're going to be... Everyone on social media, for all she knows, could love Timothy and think she has let him down.
Yeah.
But she's like, I know I've done everything I can. And we believe her.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I've wanted them to work. And I was still on her side of like, no, this is the time to call it. That you have to call it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You respect yourself too much to wait around. I mean, you just left her at that bloody picnic.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was bad. Well, that's where she said, I deserve better than this. I've worked very hard to be the woman I am.
Oh, yeah.
I know what I've done. I know what I've given. I know that I've done my best.
Yeah.
And there was a shot of her with the empty chair next to her. And then she just started packing up the eating picnic.
I know. I enjoyed Omar saying that I've worked hard to be the woman I am. Yeah. I agree. No, totally.
I know.
Like, there's photocopies in other places you can borrow. You can pay by the sheet. It's like 10p a sheet.
She'll miss the dogs, though. Bless them.
I bet they'll go on to be close friends.
I agree. I wonder if it'll hurt if she sees him... in another relationship and be the doter, be the nurturer that she never got.
Yeah, but again, I think if he is in a relationship like that, it'll be all superficial, practical kind of things.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Okay, well, we'll talk to you again on Friday. We've got the second episode of Homestays and then Dinner Party,
ooh,
I assume, and then before we go into Final Vows Week, I think.
Oh my gosh.
We're nearly there. It's weird how suddenly, you know, it starts and you think, oh my God, how am I going to remember all these people? And before you know it...
They're best friends.
Yeah. Oh, we're over halfway through. Oh my God, it's Final Vows.
Yeah.
And then we get our lives back.
Temporarily.
Yeah. For, 3-4 months or so.
So, until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Clara Marabid.
He's been Bagel.
That's been Bagel.
Bagel, stop being so sloppy, Jollops.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.